Good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbleweep Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional trust, beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. Yarn up strong, you mob. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to jump straight into it. We're talking devastating culture and financial impact. First Nations communities in crisis after UPLA collapse. And we're talking about the ACBF, UPLA, and that's the Aboriginal Community Benefit Fund, has collapsed. And a lot of people who have vested in that in regard to their funerals and what have you. And the company collapsed, has left our people in a bad state. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Mark Holden, Solicitor Financial Rights Legal Centre. On the line, Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, it's very devastating, as the title stated, in regards to ACBF UPLA collapsing. So where are people at regarding the money that they've invested for their funerals?
Yeah, so we've been getting some more data here as to how big of a problem this is now. So the liquidators, SP Partners, had provided us with some information about how many people have been affected by this. Mm. So first of all, there's a couple of very scary things we're seeing here. So first of all, we're seeing a minimum of 20,000 people who have been affected by this.
Yeah.
Also, as well, it's not just in one area or a couple of areas. It's all across Australia. And also, as well, that thirdly is that most of the areas we've identified, the government has identified those areas of being low socioeconomic disadvantage.
Mm.
So a lot of these people were living in very poor conditions, and they were just being targeted by
exactly.
ACBF UPLA people.
And just to confirm, Mark, ACBF UPLA, was that a First Nation organisation?
No. So when these people were going out to sign people up until about late 2018, they were not Aboriginal owned. They were pretending to be Aboriginal owned, and a lot of people fell for that, thinking that, oh well, I got myself someone I can trust here.
Yes. Hence my question. So in actual fact, they were a non-Indigenous company.
That's right. The other scary thing we're seeing here as well too is that it kind of matches up with what our clients are telling us as well too, whereby they don't just go to one place and go to the next place. They also come back to the same place again and again, not just to be able to sign up new people, but to be able to go back to those old people and say if they have any kids then, and then sign up those kids as well too.
Yeah. Exactly. Where are we at regarding people's getting their monies back?
So we're trying to hope here that the federal government's going to be able to try and provide some compensation here. We do know that this is on the top of the list for the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, Simon
Burney. Yes.
Also, as well too, we know that the Treasury has paid attention to this as well too. So it's not at the back of their mind as well too, but it is absolutely crucial that this matter does not go away as well too, because right now we've got people still in the morgues. Mm. We've got elders calling us, telling us that they're so worried about passing away right now as well too, because they haven't got much time left as well too, and they can't afford their own funerals as well too. So we have to be able to try and get this that compensation there as well too.
Well, we're talking about a scam here, if you look at it, and the scam itself can put pressure on our elders, which could push them towards the grave.
Well, that's what we argued there in the past as well too. We argued that ACBF, when they had signed these people up, they were signing them up under misrepresentations.
Yes.
They were signing them up under unconscionable conduct, and they were taking advantage. Over that misrepresentation to be able to make a profit for themselves.
And what's in place in regarding police in this situation, that other companies in actual fact, all industries, that people can do this, stating the fact that they're Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander run?
Well, that's the one thing that really gets me angry here as well,
yes.
too, because these communities are special. These communities are have our elders. These communities have people who are trying to be able to keep contact with their community and country, and they're always being targeted. There's always like one scam after the next as well too.
Yes.
And it's absolutely important that we actually have more commitment here to be able to try and enforce the consumer laws against those who want to be able to take advantage of those communities.
Exactly.
That being said, though, what's important first and foremost is compensation for those lost out here, because that's a more immediate problem. I agree that, but also as well too here, a lot of people who we've been speaking to as well too are saying that they do want these people who did the wrong thing to be held accountable.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you look at businesses interacting with First Nation people, we as black people are all for black people being in business. So if they're in partnership with a non-Indigenous person, it's got to be 50-50 ownership, if not 51-49, black man, person leading towards a black person.
It's got to be First Nations led. It's got to be First Nations controlled. It can be supported by non-First Nations. But as well, though, when it comes to our communities, it's us who are going to be the ones who can be affected by that, and it's us who has to be able to have that say on that.
Mm. So, where are we at, and how far are we looking down the track in regarding people getting refunds?
Well, we're pushing for refunds first and foremost. That's definitely what we're trying to be able to push here.
Mm.
But also as well too, we're hoping in the next few months or so that the government might be able to have something announced here. But as well though, we really need to be able to have that announcement like months before.
Mm.
So we need to be able to have that. We need to be able to have that right now.
Well, exactly. And then we're talking about elders who have invested in here, this space. How long have they got? And how long is a piece of string in regarding the money coming back? You know?
That's right. That's right. That's something that's been torturing us as well for the past few months as well too. Because these elders here are so worried about not having to burden their family with these costs here as well too. Because if they're going to burden their family with the costs here after being so responsible for so many decades, it's going to create a bit of a intergenerational financial impact in these communities.
Exactly.
And so that's why it's absolutely really important here for the government to be able to step in here to be able to try and help out. This is their chance here. This is a chance to be able to try and help.
Well, exactly. And our mothers, fathers, our grandmothers, grandfathers, with that thought in mind, is why they invested into this concept, so there's no financial strain on our family. But here
that's
lies
exactly
the financial
right.
strain for generations to come if it's not fixed.
That's exactly right. They've been paying diligently for so many decades.
Yes.
So a lot of them actually were paying through their Centrelink benefits as
yes.
well too. That's a good portion of their Centrelink benefits just to be able to try to protect their family from that burden.
Mark, watching this very closely. Thank you very much for sharing. Look, all the best to your firm and everything you're doing. And big love and thoughts are going out to families in this situation.
Thanks for that, Trevor.
Thank you, Mark. Take care, mate.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. There it is. That's Mark Holden, our Solicitor Financial Rights Legal Centre, and talking about the members of the Save Sorry Business Coalition who have been working to help those affected by the ACBF UPLA collapse. And ACBF is the Aboriginal Community Benefit Fund. And people have invested into that, especially their elders, in regard to their funeral. And now it's a financial strain in regard to the collapse and lost all that money and put strain on the family in regard to putting them to rest. Very sad situation. Have you saying Yarnup Strong here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.
We believe this world will go forever. We believe this world won't die until we do. We believe that certain things should not happen. But facts reveal what we believe are true. Yes, we're tearing our world all to pieces. Our mother, the world is dying. darkness and look above me at a star that twinkles brightly in the sky. When a streak of light fell from the heavens like a teardrop falling from my mother's eyes. Yes, I know.
Yeah, Warren H. Williams, Be Like Home, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong New Mob? Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can also text a brother, 045-714-0550. Don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. And big shout out to First Nation radio station across the Deadly Country of ours, Deadly Black Network, Yarn Up Strong, playing their deadly music and having all our conversations about us black people and where we sit in the 21st century on the Big Island. Always was, always will be. You know what I'm talking about. Let's look at top stories and news here. Won't be putting my head in the sand. Plibersek responds to shocking reports on health of Australia's environments. Other headlines here, the house prices that are still rising, how inflation is blowing out building costs. Mandate by stealth, students urged to wear masks as school returns. Comanchero and exile plotting escape route to Lebanon. A tragic detail in fatal Sydney boat crash. Dangerously high, UK endures one of its hottest days on record. Divisive AFL commentary debate reignited. France has delivered almost nothing. I'm fine, Julie Bishop speaks for the first time on 8-year relationship ending. Australia's east coast to be drenched with rain as temperatures dip. So they're the headlines for today's news. I'd like to know what's happening with you, Mob, in regard to your organisation or your company or your family. Either way, Tribal Mob, all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning circle, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
at the base of the hills as the plains pass the land. A little fiery woman yells, wakes me from sleep, looking for smoke to settle down. Dementia's ripe in the upper rooms, a reminder of my time yet to come. Guess I'll just play the cards that I've been dealt with the phobia for needles, they keep pricking my poor arms. I'm done. Jesus Christ and his crucifixion is Mandela could lead from an institution. Well, my worries and my troubles are just minimal. Grateful I'm not there. How long will you wagtail bees through my window as I wipe my bloodshot eyes? He's looking straight at me as we catch a glance before he does a dance to my surprise. Is this a sign of hope for my fate to seal? Not the way my innings is too short. I'm at my crossroads and God forbid I'm looking south and the road is looking prettier and more. Where I was born, Jesus Christ and his crucifixion is Mandela could lead from an institution. Where my worries and my troubles are just minimal. Grateful I'm not dead. Cream of the crop is what my father always say. Just a man with stern views. Life abstinent of broken smokes, questions what the hell did he do? The smell of death beckons at every turn, is suffocating me like a disease. I felt my mother's cries as she came a thousand miles, and I explained to her to wipe away a tease. I was born to live, I would live to die with a smile across my face. Knowing my one chance at the dance could be stolen on any given day. Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. Where my worries and my troubles are just minimal compared. I should be grateful I'm not dead. Should be grateful I'm not dead.
Yeah, Daily Track there, Grateful, Troy and Jungle Brady, Sounds of an Austronesia. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yindingi Country as BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, you mob. Now, creating new possibilities for circus from the nexus of culture and place. Combine extreme physicality and music with theatre and acrobatics, one of the world's leading performance companies, Circa Contemporary Circus, expanded its footprint to the far north of for tomorrow's launch of the First Nations-led assemble. Circa Cairns, I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Harley Mann, Circa Cairns creative lead. Harley, very good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. Got my left foot around my right ear. Sitting in the right position, my brother?
Yeah.
Hello to you. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, my mob, Waka Waka mob, from, I always say up, but now it's down, now that I've
up here, yes.
But I grew up on Gadigal country as well in Sydney. I've got a really strong connection to that place.
Beautiful.
And the mob too.
Beautiful, beautiful. So thank you very much. So talking about combining extreme physicality and music with theatre and acrobatics, so talk us through it and tell us your story, your journey there, please, Harley.
Yeah, so Circa are one of the world's leading contemporary circus company, and we're taking on the initiative of starting a full-time circus ensemble based up here in Cairns, working, creating shows, teaching workshops, engaging the mob and building pathways for emerging deadly performers, circus and dance and anything sort of physical, you know.
Yes.
And I kind of got into circus when I was younger, five. I started when I was five in a community circus background, which is, you know, after school recreational hobby, training and making works and doing little things for sort of cabarets and school shows and things like that. And eventually I went on to the Blackflip program, which was a circus arts program, a little bit similar to the Blackrobats program that was up in Caranda a few years back. Yeah, yeah. And from there I auditioned to study at the National Institute of Circus Arts, and now I work for Circa, leading this project and, running a team of really awesome artists here in Cairns.
Deadly, when you look at it, brother, our kids, yeah, well, when we were all kids, so many times, somersaulting, jumping off the bridge, you know what I mean? And acrobatics style, then even in the breakdancing scene, you know what I mean? We've got that talent, haven't we?
That's exactly right. I think between mob and everyone, it's pretty undeniable that black fellas have the capacity to do amazing physical things, you know. We have a way of storytelling and connecting and performing that's inherently physical and driven from a sort of rich, grounded cultural place.
Yes.
And circus is just the modern term for that. It's not new. It's not unique. It's not something that's uncommon for us. It's just a different terminology.
So if you look at it, Harley, mob can make a career out of this, but it also can take you throughout the globe, can't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. One of the exciting parts about being a circus performer, yeah, exactly. There's a career pathway that pays the bills and makes sure you get to provide for your family and feed your community, but also you get to go on tours nationally and internationally to connect with different cultures, learn different ways of storytelling, telling, and, you know, reflecting the stories of this place across to the people that might not get to see them.
Yeah, exactly. So we're talking about introducing Circa at Cairns. So you guys are launching Thursday, is that right?
So we launched. It was last Thursday.
We
launched.
Okay.
Yeah. We're on the ground now, and we're getting into it and training and challenging the art that we make. And we'll be here at the moment. We're planning to be here for the first pilot year program, but with full intentions that this is a long-term project that will become an important part and a connected part of Cairns.
So just talk about Circa. Are you guys performing as and putting it on a show, or is there an opportunity for people to come along and audition or look at the work that's going on?
Yeah, so we're a full-time ensemble up here in Cairns that create work. That ensemble isn't set, so currently it's an ensemble of three artists, and we hope to grow to five artists by the end of 2023, and then moving forward to seven artists by the end of 2025. And we want to really kind of tap into this place and you know, connect with the local mob here and work with artists from this place. So we're really always on the hunt for new emerging physical performers that can transition to working with us.
So it's open for people to come and watch, and if not, audition?
Yeah, exactly. So the first work that we're going to present will be in October at Boombajar Theatre.
Yes.
And then we'll make a number of works that will happen sort of sporadically throughout the rest of the year and moving into 2023 and onwards.
Harley, my brother, how do people contact you guys?
Yeah, so circacans at circa.org.au is our email.
Okay, circa, C-I-R-C-A, yep.
Circacans,
yep.
C-I-R-C-A, cans, at circa.org.au.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Thank you for the deadly yarn, my brother, and good luck with it all. And to all our deadly local mob here in Cairns, if you want to flex your muscle, so to speak, or you've got the ability, do check it out. Too deadly, Harley. Thank you.
Too deadly. All right,
catch ya. Take care, bro. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. Harley Mann, his name is, Circa Cairns Creative Lead. So proudly First Nations-led contemporary circus ensemble, which launched 14 July. So they're open, performing at the tanks there. But check them out online, Circa, C-I-R-C-A. And if you've got a child or if you yourself got that flexibility while we're yarning, you're in your splits having to listen to the radio here, there, check it out, your mob. And like I said, career pathway. Have you seen Yarn Up Song here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Take me back to the old Yarrabah Ranges. That's where my heart will always be. Take me back to the old Yarrabah Ranges. In a land of tropical scenery.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
I like to stand my ground like the next gal. You think you're better than, what do you think I am? You're just a moment in time with a partner in crime until I see you in the light and hear your voice upon the night. Don't be ridiculous, your talk is ludicrous. I came to have some fun, now you brought a gun, so shoot. You look delirious, can take you serious. Give your lies a spin while we let the truth begin. You're claiming amnesty, no, you can't hide it. See no integrity, no, I don't buy it. No mood for trivialities. You want us down on our knees, you can't be serious.
You can't be serious.
No, no, you can't be serious.
You can't be serious.
What am I doing here? Don't like the atmosphere. Digging for an ocean, only going through the motions. You think you know it all? You don't know it all. There are things I could teach you that ain't in your speech here. You really like to dance? Now you've had your chance. Anything I can do to get further from you? So here we are, making like a star in a movie, a TV, a CD, a DVD. You're claiming amnesty, no, you can't hide it. See no integrity, no, I don't buy it. No mood for trivialities, you want us down. Serious.
You can't be serious.
Yeah, you can't be serious. Honey, Wilma Reading, jazz singer. Love and respect going out there, aunt. Hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with the ball, your own Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. All right, now, 2 and 3 Indigenous style souvenirs are inauthentic, with no connection to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. In a draft report released, the Commission is calling for mandatory labelling of inauthentic products to warn consumers, a strengthened code of conduct and protections for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultural expressions. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Romley Mokak, Productivity Commissioner, on the line. Romley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important space we're talking about here, protecting our artists and the work that they do in authentic people out there, well, in authentic art happening by non-Indigenous First Nation people, is raping and pillaging our art, and we need to put a stop to it.
Well, that's right. So this draft report that we put out for public comment and feedback identifies that two in three Indigenous style souvenirs are in fact inauthentic.
And that's two, that's high percentage, high numbers, two in three. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so these are largely international visitors coming to Australia, not having a clue really about whether something's fake or not fake. And about two-thirds of those products that are sold. And the total sales there is quite staggering. It's $80 million. The two-thirds of $80 million is being spent on fake products. That's, like you say, that's robbing our mob of income that could be generated and gone back to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists and communities.
Well, we just had the celebration of CIAF, Cancer Indigenous Art Fair, after 2 years lockdown thanks to COVID-19, a very important space. And like I said, it creates a platform for our artists slash entrepreneurs, business people. And, the artists being raped and pillaged, like I said, by non-Indigenous people, which is not good for our mob.
Yeah, look, I was up, I was in Cairns for the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, and it was the first time that I'd been. We've been running this study over the last year or so, but obviously with COVID, haven't been able to travel. So it was fantastic to be up there, seeing the mob, the beautiful work, and the range of work in the fair itself and the marketplace, all authentic work. And it's a credit to Janina Harding and the team up there to put on such a fantastic fantastic event. But having said that, I also visited shops, you'd well know some of these locations, where you step into them and there's just everywhere there's fake product. And so you've got to ask the question, you know, how is this impacting our mob? Not only the economic harm, so people, you know, Aboriginal people not, Torres Strait Islander people not getting a return, but it also, and this is an important point, it also dents the confidence of the non-Indigenous buyer. They think, well, where should I go if I don't know what is authentic and what is not? You know, how do I make a decision about this? And this is some of the proposals that we put in our report.
Yes.
A labelling scheme to try and address that.
Well, if you're talking about like going into stores and you have to think about the retailers. They're probably purchasing art from wholesalers. Who the wholesalers were, and who they're dealing with in regarding artists. How do they engage or ask the questions? Is this authentic? They like to think it is authentic, but if they've been told yes, they are, that could be a blatant lie. So the retailers could be buying fake that they don't even know.
And I think to your point, there are retailers, and we met retailers in Cairns, who genuinely only want to stock authentic product.
Of course.
So, and the commission, the way which we defined authenticity is it's either made by an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person, or the product is made under licence by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander person. So you might have an Indigenous person making the design, and then they have a formal agreement so that there's benefit that comes back and there's clear about, you know, what roles and responsibilities each party has.
And that could work. That's an avenue for our artists, but it's got to be legit is what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And another thing that we've found, Trev, is that there are some unscrupulous behaviours in the market, and so most of our mob are okay. They're doing okay.
Yes.
There are many instances still where exploitative behaviour is taking place, and some of this is in the form of contracts that are kind of weighed heavily on one side. At the exploitation of the other. So getting supports, we've called for, increased funding for the support services to support Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists and communities in order that they can then find a pathway to get some restitution.
Exactly.
When things, you know, not that things should go wrong, but so that people are empowered to know what their rights are and have contracts in place
And we're talking domestic here, aren't we, Romley? I mean, the other side of the coin is the international market. I know before COVID-19, I was talking to an indigenous artist where he travelled overseas with his family for a holiday over in Bali, and he saw his work on shirts being sold over there.
Yeah, look, you know? we have found not only that two out of three in authentic souvenirs here sold in Australia, but if you have a think about the digital world and the digital platforms now, you know, you can jump onto a digital platform anywhere in the world, find an indigenous style, so-called image, lift that off, put it on a product, and already, you know, it's there. And it's got, there's nothing going back to the artist. So people are being robbed. They're being plagiarised of their own work. So it doesn't surprise me that scenario played out. Absolutely, there's a problem there.
So we need more money from government to create a secure space and protect our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists, and that's what you're working towards, is that right, Romley?
Well, there's three real headlines here, Trev. One is, you know, this is a big market. We're talking about $250 million a year, $250 million a year.
Exactly.
So we want to optimise the returns back to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists, their families, their communities. So that's one thing to make a point of. This inauthentic stuff has been around for a long time, and it continues to be so. So we're looking at this label, which puts the onus on the inauthentic producer to label that product as not having anything to do with blackfellas, basically.
Well, exactly. They've got the tag out there for Australian made. Same sort of thing as what you're talking.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I was up in Cairns, some of those shops are showing in Australian made.
Yes.
But they're not actually saying whether they're authentic. You can have a product made in this country, right?
True. You've got a point there.
But it might just be a rip-off. Someone else might be ripping off Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Mm.
Yes, it's Australian made, but it doesn't mean it's authentic.
Yeah.
So one of the label that we're proposing is a label, an information label, to say this is an inauthentic product. It was basically not made by an Aboriginal person or under law.
Torres Strait Islander person. Exactly.
So
exactly.
Putting the onus on the fake producers, not putting the burden on Aboriginal artists. The second thing that I'd emphasise, and I'll get to your point about, you know, growing the sector, but the second thing is that we're proposing new legislation to recognise the rights of our mob to traditional ownership of cultural knowledge and cultural expression through art, for example.
Yes.
Now, there's no law in the country, no standalone law, that recognises that right at the moment. So the Commission is recommending that. And it's a fairly big piece of work to kind of think about what that looks like.
Exactly.
And then the third is this strengthening the sector, having more of our mob, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, in leadership roles right across the workforce, artists who know where they stand, and getting into relationships, contracts, etc., in a strong way, in a proper, you know, an empowering way, rather than ending up, you know, concerned or worried about whether their design's going to be ripped off, and then what do they do about that?
Well, your tongue going to be hanging out, my friend, but it's great to see that you're working in the space, and more power to you. Please do keep in touch, and I think it's a very important space. Thank you for your yarn, Romley. All the best to you, my brother.
Thanks, Trev. Always good to yarn with you, and best to you and your family too.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, cheers.
Two Deadly Beautiful yarn. They're very important yarn to protecting our artists. We said $250 million of monies are being rapaged and pillaged by non-Indigenous arts and not authentic. So a lot of money there going back to artists are missing out on and should be going back to them. It's come to the time where Trendy Trev signs off your mob, but thank you very much for your company. A National Talkback 1 hour program live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. So thank you for your ears. Thank you for your support. Until then, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.